for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or caving the bottom or hitting the top. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the armchair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 332 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert, and you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we are live every Wednesday night on the Going For Two Live Podcast Network. We're here on Facebook Live, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. If you are on YouTube watching this right now, make sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Really helps us out with our numbers. Really appreciate that if you can hit that for us. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. What's up, Ryan?
Not much, man. Happy to be drafting and doing all that fun football stuff right now. It feels real.
Yes.
Like, I feel like once that Scott Fishbowl comes around and everybody's drafting and talking football, everything is like alive and it seems close. It's great.
Everything is right with the world. And we're all like chopping at the bit to draft. Like, man, my drafts are moving slow, but then we're always disappointed when it's over with. Like, now we got to wait a whole month before the season starts.
That's why I'm starting like two to three best balls every week too, just so I'm like,
just to
my
stay.
Crackhead habits are filled in.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, our guest tonight, both of them had been on the show before. Our first one, Mr. Matt Donnelly, he's the founder and a host on the Fantasy Vipers Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Donnelly FF. What's up, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing good here. I'm ready to get going here. I love these historical drafts that we're going to talk about here a little bit. We're going to kick it old school. That's kind of like me. I mean, the gray beard, it's starting to really come in right now, that time of year, so... Winter is coming already. Winter is coming. I got to get ready. I got to prepare myself.
Winter is coming in the middle of July. Love it.
It's like halfway to Christmas now, isn't it?
All right. Also joining us tonight, Raul. He's a writer from Going For Two and a host of our newest show, The Fantasy Assessment, on the Going For Two Live Network. You can follow him on Twitter at nraul11. What's up, Raul?
How's it going, everyone? Jeff, Ryan, Matt. Nice to chop it up with all of you guys. Winter is coming is resonating with me, actually, because I just started a rewatch of Game of Thrones.
Nice.
So, you know, whenever I hear that, I gotta hit the counter. So yeah, doing well and excited to get into the show with you guys.
Good stuff. All right. Real quick, Matt, give us a quick rundown of what y'all do over at the Vipers Network.
Well, it works out really well because I just concluded my 32 teams in, I think, 49 days. Team by team previews, which wrapped up with the NFC West here, wraps up actually officially tomorrow. So the last video is done. It's like the whole Thanos here, perfectly balanced situation. It is all good now. So that's been the biggest thing going on over on the Vipers YouTube channel, which has been our biggest kickoff here. And make sure, I want to give a little shout to my good friend Bob Harris and Emil Kadlik there. The Football Diehards and the Pro Football Forecast magazines are hitting new shelves right now. I've been fortunate enough the last two seasons to contribute to both of those. The Pro Forecast has Jalen Hurts on it. Make sure to go grab that. And the Football Diehards magazine has Justin Jefferson on it. So you catch a little bit of my writing. I don't do a whole lot of writing, but when I do, it goes to publication. So I'm pretty excited to pull that.
I like that. I like that. All right. Raul, give us a quick rundown of what you do at Going For Two and talk about your new show.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've been writing articles for the last few months. I need to get back on that grind. I've been slacking a little bit, I will have to say myself. But we did just launch a new show that I'm co-hosting, The Fantasy Assessment. My co-host, Jerry Wilkie, you know, where we actually break down people submitted teams. You know, that is probably my favorite part of Dynasty, especially. And then maybe we'll get some Scott Fishbowl submissions, some redraft submissions as we get into the season. But I just love thinking about teams and potential moves, and with Dynasty, of course, you know, the long-term aspect. So yeah, you should definitely check out, everyone watching here, check out the Fantasy Assessment if you want your team analyzed by myself and Jerry, and you know, we're going to be bringing guests onto the show as well. Hop into the Discord channel. We'd love to break down your teams.
Good stuff. Absolutely. All right, guys. Today's show, as always, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their leading best ball leagues with huge tournaments, private leagues, and pick'ems for every major sport. Sign up using our promo code GF2 and get a deposit match up to $100. Simple as that. Sign up, use promo code GF2, and you can start drafting your best ball teams. Ryan mentioned before the show that he's doing like 2 best ball leagues a week at least to get those in there before the season starts, because you know, we're doing the Scott Fishbowl right now, so we're all drafting, and that month of August, you know, when we got preseason and everything else, it's good to be drafting and getting ready for your redraft leagues as well. So make sure you get in there, use our promo code GF2. You deposit $100 and they give you a free $100 to use. You have $200 to go play, so it's a lot of fun. And on the show tonight, we're actually going to do some other pick'ems as well, so you can see how that works. So tonight, as we're doing all the month of July, we're doing our I Hate Division Previews, which this name came up because as a content, before I was a content creator and I was a content consumer, I always hated Division Previews. I was just not, I was always skipped past them on the podcast. I did not like them. I always felt that they were kind of boring. They kind of just glazed over the top couple of great good players and people that you already kind of knew. So when I started to do content creation, I tried to find a better way to sort of present it. And me and Ryan came up with doing drafts of just the division itself. And it kind of touches on the redraft guys. And then when you get to that second round, things get kind of ugly. You get into those dynasty, you know, gems that you're trying to get. So it's a good way to sort of present the division preview. So we're doing the NFC and the AFC West divisions tonight. But as always, we kick off the show with our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
What we're doing for our nonsense draft during the division previews, because we don't have time to get to our forgotten fantasy player at the end of every show like we normally do, we kind of combined the nonsense draft and the forgotten fantasy player into one. So we're going to be drafting retired players from the two divisions that we're drafting tonight, so the NFC and the AFC West. We get to bring them back to our fantasy teams in their prime. So we're going to do the NFC West and the AFC West, and Matt, we're going to do one QB for this draft, for the nonsense draft, just so we can get some of the skill players in here. But Matt, you've got the 101 here. Go ahead and kick us off.
Well, I'm going to avoid the quarterback play because I don't like to draft quarterbacks, especially when we look at 3 of the greatest running back seasons of all time for fantasy come out of this division. You've got LaDainian Tomlinson. You've got Marshall. You got Folk there. And you've also got Priest Holmes. I mean, we can even go, like, how deep do you want to go? Like, how far back do you want to go? Because this is absolutely loaded with running back potential. But when I think about my number 101 here, I got to go with LaDainian Tomlinson, who back in that 2006 season put up 481.6 fantasy points. That is absolutely crazy. And people forget, number 10 on this list of all time is my man, Steven Jackson. Remember we talked about him last time I was on this show? Yep. He makes this list too. He's also in this division. So there's going to be some good players that don't make the cut. But 101, it's going to be LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, that could potentially be, if we were doing a fantasy draft just overall, it could potentially be the number 1 overall ever. He was just that damn good. So yeah, great 101. Pretty much a clear cut, guys.
Silly me thought he was going to fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck, Ryan.
And you know what? He's not even the number one rushing running back in this division.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not even going to talk about Frank Gore, right? Number 3 rusher all time. He's not even going to be drafted right now. He's going to go undrafted. That is how good this position is.
Absolutely insane. All right, Raul, you got the 102 here.
Right. So if you've heard me on a show before, you might be a little familiar with my history with football, the NFL, which is very, very limited. I only started watching football at all in 2021. So my self-imposed rules on this wasn't to go too far back. I'm actually going to go with one, and you know, people watching might say I'm dropping the ball a bit at the 102, but I'm going to go with Todd Gurley, who's a player that I have, you know, personally looked into myself even before my time with Going for Two. Something that came, you know, back maybe into the conversation a bit this year in rookie draft season with the situation surrounding Tajay Spears. I mean, if Spears has even half a good career as Gurley, then, you know, he's going to be he would have been a great draft pick. But that's who I'll take at the 102.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And Gurley was great for those couple of years. It's crazy to me how fast he fell off. Like, he went from being, like, you know, easily the 101 in every draft to pretty much undrafted a couple of years later, which is crazy. But great pick there at the 102. The 103, we're just going to stay with that same team. And I'm going to go Marshall Faulk. Matt mentioned him earlier. He was, I think, my first ever fantasy draft player. And I drafted him back-to-back years. And I won back-to-back championships the first 2 years I ever played fantasy football. So it's a special place in my heart for Mr. Marshall Faulk and that whole offense. That was just a magical year. Of course, Kurt Warner coming out of the grocery store to win a Super Bowl is definitely one of the greatest stories of all time. But Marshall Faulk had a lot to do with that. So give me the 103 here, Marshall Faulk. Ryan, you got number four here.
I can't believe you passed up Jerry Rice.
Like, it was a tough choice.
15,000, 16,000 yard seasons in his career. He's had more 1,000 yard seasons than most receivers play now. And you can pick any year, just throw a dart, and you have elite fantasy production. He's the greatest receiver ever. And I thought he was going to go to the 101. I can't believe he's still there. Jeff, you're a terrible 49ers.
I had to take Marshall Faulk, man. You got to go with the running backs in this format. But, you know, just talking about Jerry Rice, there was a tweet that I saw, and I can't think of all the stats, but there was a stat where it gave a mystery player and his stats. And then it compared him to the, you know, guys that are, you know, good now, and it compared their stats. And, like, which guy would you take? And the obvious choice was the mystery player, which ended up being Jerry Rice, but Jerry Rice after the age of 30, which is crazy to think about. That they just took his stats from the age of 30 on, and he was still better than some of the guys' full careers, which is insane.
1,200, 1,500, 1,400, 1,800, 1,200. Injury, yep. 1,100. That was ages 30 through 36.
Yep, and he had the 22 touchdowns that, you know, Randy Moss famously broke, but he did it in 12 games. It was a strike-shortened season. He did 22 touchdowns in 12 games. It's insane. I mean, that's two touchdowns a game. But yeah, Jerry Rice, he's my favorite player of all time. I would have drafted him here if it wasn't for Marshall.
Apparently, Ross. He's not.
favorite fantasy player and favorite NFL player, two different things. Yeah, Jerry Rice is what got me into football. Like, without Jerry Rice, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now because I just loved him growing up. All right, enough about Jerry Rice here. Matt, you got the 105.
So I had to think about this because I need to know what the parameters are on this whole thing, because you want the player in their peak, but they only had to play for a team in these two divisions, right? Is that kind of the theory here? So in theory, I could go for a player who's played for both San Francisco and the Raiders here and put him back into his peak. So I could take peak Randy Moss, who played for both the Raiders and the 49ers, and still be laughing at, right? I mean, that's what we could do.
Fair enough. That's absolutely right.
I mean, he was doo-doo when he played for those teams. Yeah.
Still.
He was crap. He was horrible. He was horrible. But you said I could take the player at the peak as long as they played for those teams.
Yep.
I mean, but saying that, there's so many good receivers that we're not going to talk about in this draft. And they're going to get bypassed. I could probably grab one of these great receivers in the third round moving forward. I do want to touch base here before you talk about Jerry Rice here a little bit. If Tim Brown had Joe Montana and Steve Young, he would have been Jerry Rice. I'm going to put it that way. That's how good Tim Brown really was. But I want to get a positional advantage here. And I'm going to take Tony Gonzalez here. I'm going to the tight end position here because there's only a couple tight ends that are elite, that had elite seasons here. Actually, there's three of them, really. But I might just go tight end premium, just take them all like people are doing in Scott Fishbowl. And Tony Gonzalez was a difference maker. So I got myself the number one running back. I got myself the number one tight end. And I can make an argument that there's going to be a good, solid quarterback a little bit later, because that's where it kind of balances out, because no one can take Patrick Mahomes. But there's some pretty good retired quarterbacks that we could select from as well.
And Gonzalez was a great pick, but there's another guy in these divisions too that could also be up there for the number one tight end. So I'll leave him unmentioned in case he gets drafted. But Raul, you're up here at the 106.
Right, and I'm going to go with a complete homer pick, a fellow alumni of the University of California, Berkeley. Go Bears. I'm going to take Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. I probably watched the Beastquake highlight, I don't know, 5-6 times myself. You know, he probably has no business going at the 106 here, but I will go with my man.
Beast Mode, that's a great choice. He's on my list as well. But it's so hard in this division. Like, I'm looking at this list, like, I mean, there's so many ways I can go here.
I could argue that Marshawn Lynch isn't even the top two running backs out of Seattle.
Yeah, you're right. It's crazy because Sean Alexander should have been also on that list as well. So
and you make an argument for Ricky Waters being in there too.
Yep,
played Ricky for multiple teams in the AFC.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, technically Seattle was what in the AFC from 1977 to 2001. So they're in the AFC West, and then they went over to the NFC West. So they kind of touched it all. We should be talking more about the Seahawks on this show.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the Seahawks. Well, I guess that was the first one there. All right, so I'm up here at the 107, and man, there are some good players left on this list still. I think I'm gonna go with another guy that I drafted and won a championship with, and he's in an elite club in the 2,000 yard club, Mr. Terrell Davis for Denver Broncos. You know, had a couple of really good seasons, very similar to Todd Gurley, where he was just great for like a very short amount of time and then kind of fell off very quickly with injuries. But Terrell Davis, that 2,000 yard season was absolutely magical, and I had him on my team, and it was a great run to a championship. It would have been my third championship that year. So a little special place in my heart for TD as well. All right, Ryan, close us out here.
Well, I'm keeping it zero RB because there's so much talent at the position. And I already have the number one leading receiver of all time. Might as well make it number two. Give me Larry Fitz.
Great choice.
I mean, what can you say? Amazing career. One of the best receivers to ever play the game. And he caught everything that's ever been thrown his way.
Yeah, that's a pretty good tandem you got there of receivers for sure. A couple guys that went undrafted that, you know, I thought could get drafted. Isaac Bruce is here. Torrey Holt is here. Antonio Gates, who was the other tight end I was alluding to earlier. Jamal Charles, Demaryius Thomas, rest in peace. And then we could have gone quarterbacks if we'd gone long enough. You got Joe Montana, who played for two different teams in these divisions. Steve Young.
Dude, Steve Young, like the original Konami code.
Yep, absolutely. Even Roger Craig was on my list here because, I mean, he was the dual threat before there was dual threat at running back. He was kind of the starter of that. I think he had 100 catches 1 year for a running back was unheard of back then.
Well, and like I like to play the cheating here because you could have gone with Emmitt Smith or Edgerrin James, who made their way down to Arizona to play for the Cardinals at one point.
Good point.
We didn't even touch about the Raiders backs of Bo Jackson and his prime Marcus Allen. I mean, we could go there. Yep. You keep hyping up Terrell Owens, but we don't talk about another one of these great receivers. Terrell Owens instead of Jerry Rice or Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, there's so much talent missed out. Kellen Winslow Sr., Shannon Sharp at the tight end position. So much depth when we look at everything that kind of went down. I mean, we can go old school here. We go Kurt Warner, Norm Van Bronckhorst. I mean, how old do you want to kick it here? So much talent between these two divisions.
Absolutely. All right, now we're going to get into our current drafts here. Let me hit the drop real quick.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right, so if you haven't watched these before, the way we do it, we do one division at a time. We're doing the AFC West this time, and we will do it from a super flex standpoint on these drafts to give us some more players to choose from. And we can only draft players from that division. We'll do two rounds, essentially, a 12-team league. And we'll do it just like a fantasy draft. We'll do it snake draft. And Matt, you got the 101 in this one as well. So go ahead and give us your 101 in the AFC West, as if I didn't know who it was.
Again, I'm going positional here off the get-go because the drop-off of the tight end position, it's very noticeable. And I know you guys are thinking Patrick Mahomes here, but listen, Justin Herbert is going to be good. Russell Wilson, I think, is going to have a bounce back here. And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be satisfactory when he gets in the lineup. But when I look at the tight end position, Gerald Everett, Austin Hooper, Michael Mayers, Greg Dulcich, they don't move the needle for me. They are not sweatpant movers. I'm sorry. Give me Travis Kelce. It's that easy with the 101 here. Whether it's super flex or not, I look at these quarterbacks. I'm like, I think I can hold off there. And I look at the tight ends. I'm like, no, I don't want these guys.
That's a good one. I did not expect that at all. I thought for sure it was Patrick Mahomes coming off the board. All right, so you got the 102 here. Well, I think he just got a gift.
I certainly did. But, I mean, that's how you know it's a Scott Fishbowl season. I mean, Kelce went 101 in my draft, actually, and probably in a lot more. The tight end scoring really is OP in that league. But, yeah, I will accept this gift with open arms and take Patrick Mahomes myself. I mean, what more can you say? I think this will be an interesting year for you know, the standard one QB leagues, seeing the likes of, you know, Hurts, Allen, and of course Mahomes going, you know, by mid third round in most, I'd expect in most leagues, but in super flex, certainly I will be taking Mahomes here.
Good stuff. And real quick, I put on this this comment here because it's kind of a momentous occasion. So we are actually streaming live on a new streaming service called Kick.com. And this is our first comment from that streaming service. I'm going to butcher the name, but Loki XLVI. I don't know what that stands for, but they are the first comment from Kick.com. So I wanted to put that up on screen. It's kind of cool. It's a new service that I'm trying to see if we can get some foothold in. It's been gaining some traction. So if you're on Kick.com, you can now find us there as well. All right, I am up at the 103 here, and again, my pick I think is pretty easy. I'm not going to get cute, and I'm going to take the other quarterback that I think is, you know, elite. I'll take Justin Herbert here. Had a quote-unquote down season last year, and I don't know if that's really what you can call it, but I think, you know, they will have a bounce back with all the weapons that they have there. Justin Herbert is a beast, and I think he was one of the top six or seven quarterbacks taken in the Scott Fishbowl too. So, yeah, I'll take Herbert here at the 103. Ryan, you got the 104.
Well, that quarterback pool ended up getting gross quick. So I'm going to take Austin Eckler. I mean, he's in one of the best offenses in the league. He scores touchdowns at will. He's in a BPPR magic. I'm riding my Eckler till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, that's pretty much the top four that I expected to come off the board, and not necessarily that in that order, but those are definitely the top four players by far. I think there's a little bit of a teardrop at this point. And Matt, you are at the 105 here.
So I could look at running back here. There's some options there. There's some options at wide receiver that haven't been taken. If we're only going three rounds deep and trying to make the best lineup possible, I'm going to grab the last quarterback that I think has value here. And that's going to be Russell Wilson to go with Travis Kelce, because that gives me a quarterback that can compete, not quite at the Mahomes or the Justin Herbert level, but I know nobody can catch me as far as pass catchers, let alone tight ends, when we're looking at that. So I feel pretty good about Russell Wilson here in the second round, which gives me some good options to move forward in the third, and I feel pretty good.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is a prime bounce-back candidate that, you know, you hear a lot about on Twitter. That he will bounce back with his new coaching staff, and he's got a couple new weapons to play with as well. So I like that pick there. Raul, you got the 106.
All right. I will be leaning into positional scarcity a little bit and taking the Raiders running back Josh Jacobs. You know, a little bit of fear now with the franchise tag situation. You hear all these reports that there is a serious doubt for his availability for week one. But if you just follow the numbers, Jacobs should be signing the tag. He should be playing this season for the Raiders. He was really a value pick last year with him falling. I think the Zamir White hype and, you know, his he didn't get his fifth year option taken, and then I think he played in the Hall of Fame game as well, and people were really scared about Josh Jacobs, and he had a fantastic year. It was me too, but he should be fed the ball, even if the Raiders kind of stink, which I think they will. I feel pretty good about Josh Jacobs here.
Yeah, I own way too much Zamir White because of all that news. Now I'm stuck with him in my taxi squad and most of my teams. All right, I got the 107 here. The receivers are still on the board, and there's a one running back that I think is worth taking, but I will take the receiver here. That I think his talent is good enough he can overcome Jimmy G. Jimmy G has never really had a receiver one, never really made one. He had Deebo Samuel, but that was really because of his rushing, not because of his receiving ability. But I do think Davante Adams is good enough that he can overcome that. And I will take Davante Adams here at the 107. Ryan, you got the 108.
You got to put some respect on Jimmy G's name. Come on, man. He literally made like four players viable in fantasy in San Francisco. George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. You know how hard that is for anybody to make four players viable in fantasy? I know we like to make fun of Jimmy Garoppolo because it's so easy, mostly because he's so damn good looking, and that pisses me off more than anything. As an ugly person, I find this offensive that he's so good looking. It really hurts my feelings. That being said, I mean, he knows how to distribute the ball. He knows how to get it into his good players' hands. And I'm like, to your point here with Davante Adams, he's going to be fine when it's all said and done, because Jimmy Garoppolo does one thing well, and that's get the ball into his playmakers' hands.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right too with that good looking thing. I was at work and I was talking about football in general, and I had a girl chime in like, "Oh, I don't watch any football." She's like, "But who are you a fan of?" I'm like, "I'm the 49ers fan," and she's like, "Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo." I'm like, "You don't follow football, but you know who he is." All right, let's see, where are we at? So we're at 109 now. No, we're at
all I know is I'm up.
Yeah, we're at 108. 108, you're up, Ryan.
I am taking another old reliable guy on a good offense, and that's Keenan Allen. I know he's kind of just slipped, but he was still on pace before his injury for 151 targets last year. His yards per game was as high as it's been the last 6 years. He's going to be on the field. He's going to be the number one receiver there. He always gets open. He's a technician when it comes to route running, so that's not going to just disappear when he hits that 30 age. And that offense is just high powered, so I'm gonna go with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I like that call, and you're right. I mean, those guys that are just really good route runners, you know, guys like Jerry Rice, we talked about him earlier in the show, where his athletic ability didn't overwhelm anybody, but he was just so good at route running that he was able to get himself open. I think Keenan Allen kind of falls into that range where, you know, he was never the most athletic guy, never the most, you know, never the fastest guy, but he just knows how to run routes and get open.
Get open.
All right, Matt, you got the ninth pick here.
Hey, I'm all about stacking upon stacking here. And I mean, I'm telling you right now, if we are playing like a best ball type approach here, this is the final round, whatever you want to call it, or the last little bit here. I look around, I go, Patrick Mahomes, I've got Travis Kelce. So I've already eliminated that. And Rowley's basically eliminated any other person here because he's got Patrick Mahomes. So I don't have to worry about that. You got Justin Herbert. Ryan's gone off and got Keenan Allen. They kind of take care of one another. So I'm going to go with Jerry Jeudy with Russell Wilson. And I'm going to say these guys are going to get cooking here this season. We had Robert Turbin on the show just a couple weeks back, and he was all in on Russell Wilson having a bounce back with Sean Payton. I mean, if you can't have a bounce back with Sean Payton, a guy that made Jameson Winston and Taysom Hill winning quarterbacks for the New Orleans Saints, then you're probably done. Your career is probably over at this point. If you're being outplayed by Taysom Hill, right off into the sunset, Russell Wilson, let's ride way the hell out of here, okay? That's how easy it is when we break it down.
Yeah, I love Jeudy this year. I think he does have a bounce back. I think he actually kind of came on the end of last year that people don't realize how good he was at the end of last year. And I think if he can carry that into this year with what we think will be a better offensive, you know, style, I think he's definitely got wheels up for sure. All right, Raul, you got this. Is your last pick in the first round here.
Yeah, I really want to lock this guy up. And if this was a real draft, I'd probably be slapping myself at the end of the season. But I'm going to take Kadarius Toney. Oh boy, you know,
I'm gonna be slapping yourself in week number two,
and we've been canceled by Giants fans.
Yeah, I mean, the story I just saw the other must have been yesterday was that Kadarius Toney came out and said his Twitter had been hacked, and someone else had been sending voice messages with his actual voice to Giants fans.
Oh, wow,
saying some pretty foul things. A lot of off the field stuff, you know, a lot of concern with injuries. You know, this guy has hamstrings of glass, but what I will say is talent seems undeniable. The things he can do on a football field when he's, you know, fit for four games a year. I really do like the talent of Toney. I will probably be slapping myself at the end of the year for my belief, but I'll take him right here.
Yeah, it's a good call. He definitely has the upside. We've seen him flash quite a bit when he's healthy. And I've said it on this podcast multiple times, you're only injured until you're not. So if he can find a way to be healthy, then it's wheels up for him in that offense with Patrick Mahomes. All right, it's my last pick here in the first round. Starting to get a little ugly now. There's one running back left that's pretty easy choice here. And I'm going to go Javonte Williams. I know everybody's worried about his injury a little bit. I think he's going to be fine. We've seen in the Sean Payton offense how often the running backs get targeted in the passing game. That's only going to help Javonte Williams. I think, you know, Williams was on pace to be really good last year before his injury. Hopefully he comes back fully healthy and ready to roll. But if he misses a couple of games at the beginning of the season, I think he still comes back and he's the man in this offense. So Williams is my pretty easy pick here at the 111. Ryan, you got the back-to-back here. You got the 12 and then the 201.
Matt was about to say. Matt, were you trying to say something? Or am I hearing things?
I was until people left the door wide open on the porch.
Go ahead, Ryan. You're ready.
I'm going to take that handsome bastard, Jimmy G. Worst case scenario, he's playing hero ball at the end of the game because the 49ers, or sorry, the Raiders defense is pure unadulterated garbage. And he still has weapons there with Devontae Adams. And then I'm going to follow it up in the next round with Isaiah Pacheco. He really started getting action come the playoffs and late in the season in that offense. And he was really hitting his groove, especially late. And when players do well in the playoffs, that means the team trusts him. And I'm in on a guy who I think could start for one of the best offenses in the league.
All right. Two great picks there. So I'm up here at the 202, and you give me a chance to talk about, once again, my my Super Bowl MVP for my fantasy team this year. I picked him up in the middle of the season before the trade deadline for a third-round pick just because I needed somebody to start in my lineup because I was trying to tank and basically ended up winning a championship with Sam Darnold and Jerick McKinnon as my running back. And so I'll take McKinnon here. Obviously, he's the pass catcher in this offense. This is a pass-first offense, so if you can get a pass-catching running back in a pass-first offense in the second round, I think I'm doing pretty good there. So give me Jerick McKinnon at the 202. Raul, you got the 203.
Yeah, and just to tag on to your last pick, Jeff, everyone should check out the first episode of Fantasy Assessment where we actually broke down Jeff's team, and it is a beauty. It is an absolute beauty. You really can't believe that he secured the bag with that team. But it all makes sense with Jerick McKinnon, who is what, I think RB6 maybe in the last 8 weeks. Something crazy like that.
Yep.
Yeah. But here I starting to get a little bit nasty, but I will take a player that I actually did pick up in the Scott Fish Bowl, and that's Mike Williams. Someone who is, you know, by definition, very boom or bust, but even with the threat of Quentin Johnston coming into the team, I do have a lot of faith in the Chargers this year with Kellen Moore coming over from Dallas. I think back to Justin Herbert, and he got really banged up at the start of the year, a lot of injuries to the wide receiver room, and I think this is a team that, you know, should be back to amongst the highest powered offices in the NFL. So I will take his wide receiver too, at least first half of the year, hopefully.
Yeah.
And Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's a good pick because at one point last year, I think, like you said, the couple of games at the beginning of the season, he was like the receiver one. One point, so he was killing it, and then all of a sudden they just forgot about him, which tends to happen, unfortunately. All right, Matt, you got the 204 here.
Well, the 204, I'm going to take the Rashawn Johnson of the AFC West here, and I'm going to go with my guy Samaje Perine because I think Sean Payton is a liar. There's no way Javonte Williams' knee is ready to go. This reminds me of J.K. Dobbins last season. And Ryan, you know exactly what I am talking about.
We don't speak of him.
Love J.K. Dobbins this year. Love J.K. Dobbins. He's going to have a huge year. Javonte Williams had multiple ligaments damaged in that knee. Could he be ready week one? Sure, he could be ready, but I'm not right there. I don't think it's going to happen. He's not Adrian Peterson. He's not this cyborg out there. But here, you know who was good? Samaje Perine, who filled in admirably with Joe Mixon. There's a reason why Denver went out there and secured the bag with Samaje Perine. Take a look around. Follow the money here. They're also included in the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes. You don't get in the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes here. Talk about Dalvin Cook coming to your team if you believe that Javonte Williams is going to be 100%. You simply don't do that. That being said, again, I'm going to name drop. We had Robert Turbin on the show who happened to play with one Russell Wilson, who also happened to be a running back at the Seattle Seahawks. He actually prefers Perine over Javonte Williams straight up. You can catch that soundbite there on the Vipers Network. He says it might be a hot take here, but Samaje Perine is going to outscore Javonte Williams this season. Why? Because Russell Wilson is a check down to touchdown quarterback. He's not going to throw stupid balls into coverage, except in the Super Bowl, and hope for the best, right? He's going to check down. One thing that Samaje Perine can do is catch the ball out of the backfield. Jeff, you alluded to Sean Payton's offense is having those pass-catching running backs. You know who else has pass-catching running backs? Joe Lombardi, who happens to be the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator. He was there with Austin Ekeler back in the Charger days. Lombardi is going to make sure